So I want to especially thank Jason for being with us today and for leading our songs. Always good to have you, and you do such an outstanding job. We really do appreciate him being here and helping us out this morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to talk about substance versus style. And I want you to think about those two words for a moment. And the context is what we're looking for in a church and what we're trying to be as a church. And so let's think about what do those two words possibly mean. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Let me say that we have a class for children up to about age 5. If any parents would like to take advantage of that, you can meet someone in the lobby at this time, and they'll be glad to help you with your child. And there's a couple other things I wanted to say before we get started with our lesson. And so let me grab a book real quick right here. You know, it's been a kind of a tradition of the Lakeshore Church every year about this time to make a presentation, a gift to any of our young people who've reached that milestone in life, graduating from high school. And the book we give is a book called Haley's Bible Handbook. And it's really a fantastic encyclopedia and basically commentary of the whole Bible. A lot of great information. It goes through every book, every chapter, really every verse in the Bible, and gives a pretty good explanation. I found it to be something I'm really comfortable with. A lot of good information. And I know the young people don't use books like this a lot. Everything's online. But I know if I was starting over, I would like to have something that's a general summary of the Bible with a lot of other helpful study aids. And I hope that Jake, you know, will find a place in his room for this, because today we want to just congratulate Jake Bassel on his graduation this past week. And Jake, if you'll come up here real quick, I don't want to embarrass you, but I do want to hand you this great book and tell you on behalf of the church that we all are proud of you, and congratulations on your graduation from high school. Good job. Yeah. Something remarkable about Jake, I just learned it this week, perfect attendance from first grade all the way through high school. Can you believe that? Isn't that amazing? So amazing, yeah. And no wonder he was able to graduate doing that. And if you do that going to work someday, you'll be doing well as well. But it says, to Jake, congratulations on your high school graduation. We are so proud of you, and Lakeshore will always be here for you. Sincerely, your friends at the Lakeshore Church of Christ. So Jake, again, congratulations. And I hope you know how much you mean to us here, and we will always be here for you, okay? Okay, good job. One of my favorite stories about Jake, a lot of you probably know, he's just a very accomplished bowler. In fact, I think almost like on the near becoming professional. And we were going bowling one time, and he was talking about how he had to get his spare ball. And I thought, yeah, like, you know, I have a spare tennis racket. In case I break one, I've got a spare tennis racket. Well, that's not what he meant. He has a ball that he uses just when he's going for the spare, right? It's a term in bowling. So that's what a bowler he is. You know, he has different balls for different situations. So I was pretty impressed with that. I didn't understand it first, but that's amazing. You know, and I wanted to say something else. We're also glad to have the Williams family back with us. They had to make a tough trip up to Maryland for the loss of Lorraine's nephew just recently. And, you know, I went online and read about him, and it seemed like everybody there in his school loved him and missed him and showed a lot of support for him. And we're just so sorry, you know, that y'all had to go through that. But we're glad you're back safe. And, you know, I hope you know that we do all sympathize with you in your loss. But once again, you know, it's good to have everybody here. We appreciate everybody joining us this morning, especially visitors. So, substance and style with respect to kind of the attitude of a church or what a church is trying to do and be. What might substance, what do you think of when I say substance in a congregation or in a church, a local church? Any words come to mind? Anybody? The substance. Okay, the Bible. That's great. The Bible. That's really where it all comes from. Somebody said something over here. Truth, okay, the truth of God's word. I'm sorry? Dedication. Okay, dedication, being dedicated to be loyal to the Bible, the truth of God's word. I really think that's great. I think it comes from a Latin word, which means like the what's underneath, what everything rests on. And and our relationship with God as individuals and as a church needs to rest on the truth of God's word, or else we're missing the whole point. What about style? What comes to your mind when I say style? I'm sorry? Charisma, okay. And eloquence, okay. Thinking especially about a speaker, you know, his charisma perhaps, or his eloquence. Okay, the way of handling things. Very good. What else? I'm sorry? Methods, okay. Your methods. And so you have the substance, you know, this non-negotiable truth. And then you have, I would maybe say something almost like the way of packaging it. You know, the appearance, the outward things that are done. I was, a couple of weeks ago, riding in the car again, a lot of car stories. But I came out of a car that had this sticker on the back, 1122. It's one of the most popular churches in Jacksonville. And it's really funny how they chose that to be the name, how they would be identified. I mean, it's kind of strange, isn't it? 1122. And you ask a lot of people in town, where do you go to church? I go to 1122. On their website, they make reference to Mark 1122, which is, I think, a great verse. If you're going to choose one verse to be kind of your mission statement, you know, this would probably be as good as any. Have faith in God. We should have faith in God. But what they did with this 1122, and you're probably aware of this if you know about it at all, some of their services began, isn't this kind of strange? I mean, you got to admit it, it's a little odd. Thursday night at 7:22, Sundays at 5:22, but also the big one, they meet at 11:22. Now, you know, there's not really a lot of substance behind that decision. Really, that's just pure style. And I know some of you are thinking, well, he's going to be hard on this church. I'm not going to criticize them about this at all. That's not my point at all. In fact, I think it's kind of clever what they do, okay? And we want to talk about that a little bit. I want you to understand, you know, we're not about picking churches out and making light of things we don't agree with. That's not what this is about. But I just want to think about it because it's really a phenomenon in the religious world. You've noticed that. All the, we could call it trendy church names, like 1122. There's no real, you know, logical, substantial reason, certainly no biblical reason behind that, but they do it because people like it. And they like saying, I go to 1122, and you know, it's just a lot of trendiness to it. Notice how 11's written out, 22's numerical. Why? Why did they do it that way? Because people like it. Because it's kind of cool. It's kind of trendy, right? And people do like it. This is like the most popular church in Jacksonville. Just coming in, I passed like a church called Epic Church. And I passed a church called Church 360. And I passed a church called Journey Church. Well, everybody sees that, right? It's just this really, it's a phenomenon in the religious world where you choose, if you want to be popular, you choose a real trendy name because people like that, you know, and they're drawn to that. But is that really something of substance? No, really, what that is just style. But people like style, and we're attracted to that, and we are drawn to that. There's a church in my neighborhood, another one, Kim. It's called Elevate Life. This is by far the most popular church in our neighborhood. Now, what do you notice as you look at that logo? What do you notice about it? Just observations. Okay, it's all lower caps. Why did they do that, Kirk? Okay. Okay, because they like it. They like it. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, okay? But I just want to see that this is just kind of style, right? Okay, so it's all lower caps. What else do you notice about Elevate Life? Well, two different fonts going there, right? All lower caps, two different fonts. The L is kind of an oddball there, and the E is underlined. Now, why is the E underlined? I think they probably paid some marketing guy to come up with a beautiful design, and people eat it up. They love it. Now, both of these churches, they have very talented speakers, and they teach a lot of good things, and I'm not saying that's all there is, but I'm saying you know, they chose to kind of appeal to the community in a way that's very, very stylish. And there's really no substance to this at all. It's just marketing. It's just, you know, trendy marketing that people really like and they are drawn to. So I was thinking, you know, we're called Lakeshore, right? So we could kind of shorten that to the shore, all right? And so I got my concordance out, and I did find a verse. And so this could be our new logo. And there's a scripture in Acts that says, they hoisted the mainsail to the wind and made, notice I changed the font, shore, made for the shore. And so every morning we need to hoist the mainsail, every Sunday morning, and head to the shore. You know, if we did that, people would probably be drawn into that, to be honest with you. Because people like stuff like that. And I'm not saying there would necessarily be anything wrong with that. It might be, you know, wise in some ways. The fact is, we do things like that. You know, I had a slide up a little while ago. Which one do you like best, that one or that one? Okay. That one or that one? Or that one? You know, even that one's a little different. Now, there's nothing of substance in that decision, right? It's really just style. You know, we're just trying to be more appealing. We're trying to make it easier on the eyes. We're trying to make it easier for people to follow along and to listen. So I think everybody would prefer, you know, probably that to that. Or, you know, even this. It's funny. I did a slide like this. I was visiting a church. And so before the lesson, we projected it up on the screen. And I guess they weren't used to that. And they actually started looking at the projector, trying to, there's something on the lens there. Why does it have that sketchiness around the edges? And they were all worried about, they didn't realize that I'd actually chosen a background that was kind of stylish, I guess you would say. I think there's a place for that. And so here's the 2 points I want to make. I think there's some wisdom in considering questions about style, but we should never sacrifice substance for style. And I think it's a real temptation. And I think if we're not careful, we can be drawn to style over substance. We need to remember that substance really is the basics. That's what's so important that cannot be compromised and must always be there. First of all, there's some wisdom in considering style. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 10, I'm sending you out like sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents, but be harmless as doves. He's told them you need to be wise. And I think that's wisdom. And employing some appropriate forms of style, I think you can certainly get carried away with it. But if it makes people more interested, if it draws them as opposed to just, you know, kind of turning them off and creating non-interest, maybe it's worthwhile. Maybe it's something we can use, you know, to build up the kingdom of God a little bit. Again, 1122 is like the most popular church in Jacksonville, and Elevate Life is certainly the most popular one in our neighborhood. I mean, they're packed 6 or 7 times every week. And it's interesting, Joby Martin, the preacher at 1122, he's a Southern Baptist by training. And what do you think the church would be like if instead of 1122 they were called Arlington Baptist Church? You think they would be as popular? I don't think so, because people like the trendy labels, you know, and they like saying they're going to 1122. And that's really a bizarre name when you stop and think about it, to name your church after starting at a time like 1122. But the point is, you know, it's a decision that they believe is going to help them to be more effective. And I think we need to make decisions in areas of judgment, not meddling with the doctrine, we can't do that, but in areas of judgment that can help us, you know, to be more effective. And I think Paul taught that in a scripture we've looked at many times, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He said, though I'm free from all men, I've made myself a servant to all that I might win the more. To the Jews, so he's talking about different cultures here. And he says, to them I became like a Jew so that I could win Jews. To those who are under the law, he said, I was willing to become like I'm under the law so that I could win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, I became as without law. And then he said, not being without law toward God, but I am under law toward Christ. It's the point we made earlier. We do have a law. But he said, I did this so that I could win some people who are, you know, without the law, who don't appreciate the law at all. To the weak, I became like the weak, that I might win the weak. I became all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. See, his goal was, I want to save whoever I can. And I recognize that people come from different cultures and they have different, you know, mindsets and perspective. And I want to adjust myself where possible. When he says, I became as, whichever case, what he's really saying is I'm willing to change. I'm not stuck in a rut. I'm not so committed to my old ways that I'm unwilling to adapt. Paul said over and over in this passage, I'm willing to do that. I'll make whatever changes I can in order that I might connect in some way with someone. And the bottom line is that I might save some, that I might win. You know, that should be a goal that's so important to us. Some churches don't like to change because they don't want to offend people who are used to the same way. But, and that's very important, I think. But it's also very important. You know, people who are brand new, who are weak, and maybe things that we understand, and if we can find some way that we might connect a little bit better with them, we should probably do that. I think there's some wisdom in considering style. You know, three examples of that one slide, you know, which is better? Well, I think pretty much everybody here would choose number one or two. You know, a big question, well, is it a distraction? We shouldn't let our style be so extravagant that it becomes a distraction. But is it completely unimportant? Well, it doesn't really have anything to do with the substance. You know, number three there expresses the substance as well as one and two. The Lord's Supper is about remembering, being thankful, examining ourselves, and having fellowship. And so, as far as the substance, they're all the same, but they're certainly different with respect to style. And I think we can see the value sometimes in doing things somewhat stylish. And it's great to have elders, you know, who will make that call, who know when to go forward or know when to back off, and it doesn't become a distraction and things like that. There's a lot of people who are raised in churches like ours, and they've said things to me like, you know, I hope someday I can be a part of a church that's a little bit progressive. And what they meant by that was not that they wanted to change the substance of the gospel. They just want to package it a little differently so that they can be more effective, they think, in perhaps relating to people who don't know our Church of Christ culture at all. And I can understand what they're saying. And I think that's kind of always kind of been my vision and the vision here at Lakeshore to a certain extent. Because I think it's not completely unimportant. I think it's very important that we take advantage of every opportunity we have. And maybe our greatest concern is not the past, but the future. And thinking about young people and thinking about people who aren't, again, exposed to all the tradition we've been exposed to. You know, is there something we can do within scriptural parameters to better connect with them? I'm running out of time, but I just want to make this last point, and that is we can never sacrifice substance for style. And so I want to look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and think about this passage in light of these things. Paul said, when I came to you, I did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom declaring the testimony of God. And it's such an interesting statement that he said, you know, I didn't emphasize the style so much. You know, I didn't polish my speech up and make it really eloquent and use human wisdom. He said, I was determined not to know anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's, when it comes right down to it, the bare substance. Jesus and him crucified. And we just need to get that message out. He goes on, he says, I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. My preaching was not with persuasive words of human wisdom. You know, all those examples of style we've been given were examples of human wisdom, marketing, what will connect best with people. And Paul said, I intentionally did not emphasize that. And look at why he said, so that your faith will not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You know, that's what we need to be sure people are getting, the power of God, the Jesus Christ and him crucified. And if we can use something to make that a little bit more palatable, perhaps we do that. But that message is what really matters. And Paul said, I intentionally steered away from overdoing the style, because I don't want you to have faith in that. I want you to have faith in Jesus. That's the substance. That's the underlying foundation. You ask somebody, why do you go to this church? Is it because Jesus, or is it because you like the building, or you like, you know, the preacher, or you like the name, or just the style? And those things can be attractive, and certainly we don't want them to be a distraction, but we should be where we are, wherever it is, because we love Jesus. You know, we believe that he's being accurately represented there, and they are dedicated to following him in everything that they do. You know, this is, I think, a huge question. People are, it's easily to be persuaded by attractive style. There may be style, but is there substance? That's a question we need to ask. Jesus said, beware of false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing. In other words, they look good. You know, they have the attractive style. But he said, you know, they're false prophets. And if that's the case, then inwardly they're ravenous wolves. They're not really serving the kingdom of God. They're leading people away from the true substance. And this scripture in Ephesians 5 is talking about marriage. So I don't want to focus on the marriage so much, but look at the example he gives. He says, husband is the head of the wife. Here's what I wanted to notice. Just like Christ is the head of the church. We should never forget that Christ is the head. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their husbands and everything. But Paul just assumes they understand this. Christ is the head of the church. The church must be subject to Christ. And we need to do what Christ says. If Jesus says something in his word, then we are his body, and we need to do exactly what he says. And if we fail to do that, then we're no longer the church of Jesus Christ. We're rebelling against our head. And so to kind of wrap it all up, substance is more important than style. I think there's a place for both of them. And I think a really good church would be one that, first of all, puts a premium on substance, but also considers style in a tasteful way. But here's the point. In deciding what we believe and what we do, what it should be is, like we see in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Acknowledge God. What does God say? You know, what does Scripture say about this? Don't lean on your own understanding. That's what I think we do so often in deciding what we believe or do. We do this. Everybody does this. I think this would be best. I feel this would be best. I can't believe God would require that. I think it ought to be. Or there's no way I would ever, you know, sign on to something like that. Those are just feelings we have about what we think would be good or what we like. And really it doesn't matter. What matters is, you know, what does the Bible say about it? And so we need to be sure that that's what governs us in all the decisions that we make. Before we sing our last song, I want to give one example of this. A couple of years ago, this is my favorite story. I might have told it before, but around Christmas time, Ellen saw on Pinterest a cute idea for your Christmas tree when the season's over. And so what you do is you hang on to it, and then the next season you spray paint it, I guess, and put it up in the front yard, and it's a beautiful little decoration, right? So Christmas time was over, and I told Riley, you know, take the tree down. I want you to go put it in the woods and lean it up next to another tree. Okay, so we're going to save it to the next year. And so a few hours later, I look out, and there's the tree by the side of the road with all the other garbage, okay? So I said, well, Riley, why didn't you do what I asked you to do? And he said, Dad, that tree's not going to grow back. Okay. And he's right about that, right? But that's not why we asked him to do it. I know it's not going to grow back. You can't take a Christmas tree and put it back in the ground and expect it to grow back. But that wasn't his job to work through it and decide what was best. His job was to do what? To do what he was told to do, I guess. And maybe an explanation was in order. But with God, we don't owe him, or he doesn't owe us an explanation. You know, if he says to do something, whether or not we understand it, we need to do it exactly the way he said. You know, this is an interesting question, what we're talking about this morning. So before we sing, I want to ask, is there any question about anything that we've had to say today about churches and their philosophies. And I think it's great to have elders who know when to, you know, say slow down if someone wants to go somewhere that maybe the church isn't ready to go. Thinking about how the members feel, but also thinking about, you know, we got to be effective in our community. And anything I've had to say, any question about it, Jack?
I have one thing to say.
Okay.
When we sometimes see television evangelists, there are some of them who look like they are so much into style. I mean, they just look like they've been to acting school before they get up to preach. And
yeah.
Maybe that's just them, but it comes across to me that they're just a bit too polished, and there's not enough emphasis on the real word, the real substance.
Okay. Well, that can be kind of the effect, but you know what it's about is Jesus and him crucified. And Paul said, you know, he really didn't go that direction. We read that scripture. You know, he was intentional not to present himself in a way that people would have faith in him, you know, instead of in Jesus. Jack. Celebration, right. Okay. Okay, right. The music style is quite different, I'm sure. But celebration, you know, that's another, you know, it's a phenomenon, isn't it? I mean, this is what churches do today. They choose a name that's, you know, just really stylish and kind of captures maybe what they see as their mission. But celebration or epic or elevate or 1122, I just think that's the most bizarre choice, but they are the most popular church in Jacksonville, Florida. What else? Any other questions about, you know, what we're talking about?